Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, your Son makes himself known to all his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith that we may see him in his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Jesus loves the little children.
A reading from Acts. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 116 responsively. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I came to grief and sorrow.
Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you, save my life.
How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things God has done for me?
I will lift the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds.
I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people.
In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
A reading from 1 Peter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew. Not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. Word of God, Word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Now, on that same day, when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were walking and talking and discussing, Jesus came near them and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other as you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since all these things took place. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. Have you ever felt like that? Disappointed, full of doubt, disillusionment, discouraged, even in despair? I don't think anyone gets through life without having some times like that. We lose a job or a spouse. We lose a marriage or our health. We lose a beloved pet or even a few hours of sleep. And we find ourselves sinking into a period of anxiety and fear. We think that things won't ever be right again. In the quiet of the church, when the ones that we really want aren't sitting next to us. In the night, when it's quiet and dark. Hope isn't even a word we can whisper. Grace is just another church word that doesn't seem to really apply to us. In this cloud of discouragement hanging over us, it doesn't even seem possible to pray. Well, what's the use? When we need God the most, it seems that God is the furthest away. There is no God to be found. So we're taking this road in the opposite direction. We head off to Emmaus rather than Jerusalem. But we had hoped. We know what that feels like. We never really planned for our present situation, that this would be our reality. Sickness or age has forced a new living situation. Change in income means limited choices. Loneliness or death is too frequent a visitor. Whatever it is that's happened, well, it just isn't what we had hoped. Today's gospel tells us of this situation for two of the disciples. They're followers of Jesus, and they had believed in this new kingdom that Jesus had promised them. They had spent the past few years in his company, listened intently to his teachings. They had seen his love and his care for the poor and for the sick, and they were full of dreams and hopes for their future with Jesus. But now, these days, so recently past, those days with Jesus were hardly a glimmer. Jesus had been tortured and crucified. He had been buried, and with him, every bit of their hope. They had nothing to do but to turn around and walk away. Turn around and go back home. So this is where we find them, Cleopas and his friend, walking together, slowly plodding along. You can almost hear them telling the same story over and over, going over the details of those past days as if telling it one more time might change the outcome. And then they meet this stranger on the road. It's Jesus, but with their heads hung low and their eyes red and bleary from days of crying, they just don't see clearly. They don't recognize Jesus. They're filled with doubt and disillusionment, discouragement and despair. They can't even see that this stranger is Jesus. They can't believe that this stranger doesn't know what's been going on in Jerusalem. These past days, their whole lives have been turned upside down, and here's this guy that doesn't have a clue. Where had he been? So they rehash the story yet another time, finally getting to the part about the empty tomb, the women's vision of angels, and their own disappointment that it just couldn't be true. But we had hoped. When they got to the end of the story, when they got to the place they thought they were going on, it was the stranger's turn to talk. Weren't you listening when he told you all that this must happen? Didn't you pay attention to the teacher? Didn't you know that from the beginning of time, from Moses on through the prophets, they foretold exactly what had just happened? And that the Messiah must suffer before he enters into his glory. The two disciples were now entranced with Jesus' words, listening to everything he said. And he recites scripture for them, going all the way back to Moses, going back to the Torah, going back to the basic books of their scriptures. And he explains how all of that points to the Messiah. They want to hear more, but they are now at Emmaus, where they were headed. Stay with us. It's almost evening. The day is almost over. Stay with us. Keep talking to us. And then a strange thing happens. They're at table, and the guest becomes the host. He takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, gives it to them, as the host at a meal would share with his guests. And their eyes were opened. In that simple, yet so meaningful act, they knew with certainty. Not only did they know who he was, indeed, this was Jesus, But they knew with certainty the truth of all that he had been saying to them, not just in that walk when he was explaining scripture to them, but they knew with certainty, a new certainty, that all that he had said for those years of listening and teaching, that all that was true as well. It was just like with Mary Magdalene at the tomb. Jesus only had to speak her name, and she knew immediately that familiar tone, that familiar voice. She knew who he was. For Cleopas and his friend, their doubt and discouragement, their disillusionment and despair were now forgotten. So renewed in faith and in hope, they forgot what had weighed them down so much, and they turned around and ran back to Jerusalem. It's about a 7-mile walk. And now they're running back, and it's night or dusk. It's going to be dark when they get there. But they could not wait. They had to share this good news with the others. This is good news for us as well. In the entire Gospel of Luke, through his whole writing, Luke is always helping us to focus our attention on Jerusalem. This is where everything will happen. From the very beginning of Scripture, it's all focused, or the beginning of Luke's Gospel, it's all focused on Jerusalem. But here we have these two travelers going the opposite direction. You know, this is good news for me. We don't know how long Jesus walked with those two men on the Emmaus Road, but it was a while. Those two disciples headed in the wrong direction, and Jesus walks with them, going in the wrong way. Jesus doesn't try to turn them around. When truth dawns on them, they turn around on their own and head back to Jerusalem. Jesus talked with them, walked with them, listened to them, fed them. He walked with them even when they were going in the wrong way. One of the most wonderful things to come out of this resurrection story is this truth about Jesus. No matter how bad things become for us, even if we lose our faith, even if we're going in the wrong way, Jesus will come and be with us. Even if we've given up hope, he won't ask for explanations. We don't have to justify our positions. There's no accusing, no blame. Jesus simply comes and walks with us, each of us walking on our own Emmaus Road. Jesus comes and walks with us, even though we're the ones going in the wrong direction, even though we're the ones going away from the truth. He's always faithful. He's always comes to walk with us. Barbara Brown Taylor is one of my favorite contemporary preachers, and she says this about the Emmaus story. Jesus comes to the disappointed, the doubtful, the disconsolate. He comes to those who do not know their Bibles, who do not recognize him, even when they are walking beside him. He comes to those who have given up and are headed back home, which makes this whole story about the blessedness of being broken. This is a wonderful story, and it shouldn't surprise us. Jesus' whole ministry is about caring for those who need him the most. The poor, the sick, the lonely, the outcast. Whenever Jesus found them, he shared not only his love, but whatever else he had, his teaching, his food, his forgiveness, his compassion, and in the end, his broken body. The good news is that Jesus comes to us not only when we are faithful and good and true, but also when we have wandered away in the wrong direction, when we've given up hope, when we feel like throwing in the towel, when nothing seems right, Jesus is there. Just as Jesus made himself known to the two disciples on the Emmaus Road in the word and in the meal, so he comes and walks with us in our times of despair and discouragement and doubt. He waits for us to recognize him. He waits for us to know him in the scriptures, in our conversations with friends, in our own realization that our hearts are burning so that Jesus can reveal Jesus' self to us. Jesus waits for us to recognize him. He waits for us to know him in the breaking of the bread, in the sharing of this sacred meal, in our own realization that our bleary vision has cleared up a little in this taste of bread, this sip of wine. The gift of Emmaus is a gift for you and for me. Wherever you are on your road, even if you're going in the wrong direction, the risen Lord Jesus comes to you, opens your eyes, invites you to walk with him, and then invites you to run back to those who need to hear this word as well, to run and tell the good news that Jesus is with us even when we are on the wrong path, even when we're going in the wrong direction. Jesus is walking with us. May your hearts burn within you and your eyes be opened to know that indeed Jesus is with you. Amen.